Hey there. Today, I am joined by Ben, who actually knows what he's talking about when it comes to the Winter Guard. My name is Nate, and I don't know what I'm talking about. And welcome to the Gamers Guild. Ben, welcome to the podcast. This is the first time I think I've got to have you on.
Yeah, hi everyone. It's good to be on the podcast and you know with the famous Nate of the Gamers Guild. It's a privilege to be here, man. Thank you for having me on.
Shaking my head. I don't know what this honor and all this other stuff is about, but I am happy to have you on regardless. To talking about an affiliation that I haven't got to get a lot of reps in with myself, unfortunately, because I love a lot of the characters in the affiliation, which is easy to say when it's only a four-wide affiliation, unfortunately.
Yeah, I love the Winter Guard. I'm a Slavic man myself. I'm a third-generation Ukrainian, and so all of my Slavic pride was channeled in when they announced the Winter Guard, and yeah, I've been trying to jam pack them into as many games as I can. I've been sharing with a couple of other folks. I almost brought them to NashCon in 2 weeks. I played a little over 30 games with them just to try to figure them out. It didn't go as great as originally planned, so I backed out at the last minute for NashCon with bringing the Winter Guard. But they are definitely on the docket to be coming with me for a couple other tournaments here in the very near future.
Awesome, man. Love to hear it. So we start these out usually by going through a few different packs that basically, hey, if you're looking to get into the Winter Guard, what are the three packs that we would recommend to start with? And I feel like the obvious one that you want to start with is with the leader, and that is Crimson Dynamo, who also happens to come with Darkstar.
Yeah, it's a great start. You know, if you want to play the faction to bring their faction leader, the affiliation leader, and Crimson Dynamo for me is just an amazing four threat. You know, beam four with a wild shock, with you know automatically gaining one on every attack can be scary good. We'll talk a little bit about how to really live the dream with Crimson Dynamo. But he is just awesome. He's got 6 health, 4 physical defense, 3 energy, and 4 mystic. And then he has a damage reduction of 1. So he's going to be a tanky boy. Going to be able to kind of sit somewhere, just plop him somewhere. And he's going to be able to live the dream. He's got 2 other amazing superpowers, his propulsion thrusters where he can spend 2 to place himself 2. And then he's got a cheeky superpower that's an action called overcharge capacitors where he can gain 2 power. And I think he's great. I think he's a great character. And I absolutely love him. And he's not only great in Winter Guard, but I think some people have been exploring with him in some other affiliations, which is really fun to see.
I actually got to go up against him at Warfare Weekend in somebody else's Steve's Avengers list.
Nice.
And it was great to see. And he did his job. He held the center of the board, made them a little bit more durable. Unfortunately, I was a very mean person and brought Loki into that matchup.
Oh.
And so it was like, oh, you had a leadership. What leadership?
Yeah, poor Steve probably just was getting trolled by Loki all day. That's mean.
Pretty much.
And Crimson's not a big fan, and many of the Winter Guard are not a big fan of just being moved around outside of their turn. So I'm sure you were able to. Did you bring Loki with a Mind Stone?
Absolutely. How could you not?
Yeah. Well, you've all heard it here, friends, that Nate is a jerk.
Really worth talking about. It's a character Loki that didn't really impress me from the moment I saw her. And there was a lot of parallels to Clea, but like Clea's also not that great. I don't know. You've tested the heck out of Winter Guard in general. What are your thoughts on Darkstar?
I want to love the idea of Darkstar. I really do. I think that they almost got it right with her. And that's for me, kind of the general consensus with the Winter Guard, is I feel like they're almost there. I think they're, you know, unfortunately kind of one of the more bottom tier affiliations. And so what that means is if you want to play Winter Guard, it's going to be a little bit harder. It's going to be a little bit harder. You're going to be kind of, you know, climbing up the mountain when you play with them. But for me, Darkstar doesn't even make my roster. Her superpowers, the dimensional portal, and her dark force barrier, which adds two dice, two defense dice against energy or physical attacks, are both great, but they are way too expensive for her. She's not going to be generating power consistently mm-hmm. enough. It's really going to be hard. And she dies to a stiff breeze. So it's going to be pretty hard to justify bringing Darkstar, especially when we're going to talk about another character who at three cost is going to fill her role just so much better. She doesn't even make my roster, unfortunately.
Yeah. Unfortunate, but that at the same time, like that's how it is sometimes.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the second box that we recommend picking up. Why don't you start us off with that one?
Yeah, the second box is the rest of the Winter Guard, which is the Red Guardian and the best character in the whole wide game, Ursa Major. You get to play as a shape-shifting man-bear, and he's Slavic. So really, what else do you want from this game? I mean, you have an attack from Ursa. You might, you know, be able to tell pretty quickly. I love Ursa Major. Ursa Major has his builder as a bare-handed slap. You get to slap people, friends. Like, you just get to slap people with a big old giant bear. I love it. He's a 4 threat with 7 health. He moves small. He has a charge. He can throw things. He is aggressive. And his spender is just amazing. In all seriousness, one of the things that's so great about Ursa Major, the bare-armed brawler, which is a 3-cost spender, he gets an auto throw size 4 or less and an auto stagger. You know, Ursa Major is not maybe probably one of the best 4s in the world. You know, I don't know, and maybe Nate, I don't know if you've seen Ursa splashed in some places. I haven't seen him splashed around too much. But I love him in Winter Guard. He's not a fan of big kitties. You know, he likes to throw that big cat and throw a stagger on him. And I love it. And that's what I love about Ursa. You know, he's a 4 threat who's going to take, you know, usually take a couple shots and then give it right back to you.
Yeah, no, he does that job quite well. And at the end of the day, you get to play with a big old bear, and that's just a lot of fun.
It's just awesome. And I don't know, I've seen some really awesome conversions or additions to the model itself. You know, people doing painting up Ursa Major like the Coca-Cola polar bear.
I have not seen this, but this sounds amazing.
Oh, I've seen that one. Oh, it's just awesome. Yeah, the Coca-Cola polar bear. I've seen Winnie the Pooh a bunch of times. I've seen, you know, people just putting vodka bottles, you know, on Ursa Major. In the comics, he's a big alcoholic too.
That lines up.
Yep. There's a lot of fun stuff. If you're a big fan of just, you know, modeling things, Ursa Major is a really fun character, to do that with. And then you get, Red Guardian, and this is a teachable moment. I like to remind folks, this is not the Red Guardian from the movie of Black Widow. This is technically Nikolai Krylenko, who is the mutant vanguard. Red Guardian, or Nikolai more specifically, is a mutant. And his mutant power is to redirect stuff. And that's why he ends up getting promoted to the Red Guardian. And so he's awesome. He's going to be your power generating guy. So if you need tactic cards, which we'll talk just a a little bit about of some tactic cards that Red Guardian can really benefit from. He's going to be generating power like crazy. And again, he has pushes and throws that are really, really strong because he's able to push size three or less and throw size three or less.
Yeah, for a three-threat character, his strike guarantees a power and a guaranteed push of size. It's basically Black Panther strike, except instead of it being a builder, it's a gainer.
Yeah.
Which is a great trade-off. And then his spender is basically Steve Shield Slam, but it does cost one more power.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's it for a three-threat instead.
Yeah, for a three threat, I mean, auto pushes, auto throws, you know, I think sometimes people underestimate just how important those are, mm-hmm. where you can just do a thing and you don't have to rely on a die roll. I can't tell you how many times Red Guardian has won me games because he literally walks up, punches somebody, pushes them off an objective, and you win the game.
Yeah.
And I actually have seen Red Guardian splashed a whole bunch in crime where they really love those auto throws, auto pushes, mm-hmm. and a little bit more survivable guys. Red Guardian with his superpower force repulsion field is able to count blanks against physical and energy attacks. So he can get pretty survivable as well.
Yeah, he definitely has a nice little durability check. And of course, the thing that he comes with that makes him like on his card alone, that like that's pretty good. But where he really ups the ante is the tactic card he comes with, Comrade's Keeper.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Heroes for Hire, except it's just for Red Guardian. And if Red Guardian suffers damage from the attack and is not dazed, so he does have to take damage, so it's not strictly better than Heroes for Hire. Because he does have to take that damage, but as long as he takes damage and is not dazed / KO'd, after the attack is resolved, you get to toss whoever is doing the attack away short.
Yeah. And you know, there have been a couple of times you know, toward the end of a round where someone, you know, is attacking or trying to finish off Ursa Major, that I have used this card just to reposition Red Guardian. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's going to be a consistent theme with the Winter Guard is their lack of mobility. They're not very fast, and they're not moving around the field a whole bunch. So anytime you can kind of sneak those opportunities to move around, like this Comrade's Keeper, is actually really, really strong. Because again, Red Guardian can place himself within two of the person that he's effectively bodyguarding, putting him on a really important position. If he obviously doesn't daze, he can throw somebody and then push two other people. It's it can kind of get crazy.
Yeah.
And he can throw a shield. So, you know, that's always cool.
It's always nice. Easy power gaining, maybe two thanks to Ricochet.
Yeah.
It's always just a nice tool to have in the pocket if you need it.
100%. I love Red Guardian is a fun character. And I really like him a whole bunch.
Yeah. Last box, and it's the only box that's not like the core to the affiliation, is going to be Winter Soldier and Vision. Winter Soldier, mainly because he can kind of become that fifth affiliated member thanks to Rogue Agent. And Winter Soldier just turns out to be really good once he got Rapid Fire.
Go figure.
Man, I did not think that rapid fire on a hit, no less, would be enough to bring him up so much. And yet here we are.
He is, you know, and again, what's really nice about him that he can bring to the team is he actually has some maneuverability shenanigans. Mm-hmm. You know, with that Hydra, I think it's Hydra Tactics, yep. where he can hop off of somebody. We've got, you know, two in affiliation big bases, and that's really beneficial for the Hydra hop. And then you got Vision. You know, Vision is no snuff. You know, being able to throw characters. Again, you know, throwing characters and repositioning people is going to be a strength of this team. And Vision is quite tanky. You know, when you look at his card, people kind of, you know, get a little scared, you know, with the, they see the 2/2/4. But again, you know, with the phasing and being able to change that phasing, you know, when you're attacked, makes him pretty survivable. And then he's immune to two conditions. So that really benefits the Winter Guard affiliation bonus because that's two less conditions you have to worry about. And they're pretty common in bleed and poison.
Yeah. And I guess real quick, we should probably touch on what that leadership does. So Crimson Dynamo has a two-part leadership. The first part is at the beginning of a character's activation, it just flat out can remove a special condition. Overall, just really handy to be able to do that, whether that's getting rid of a shock that you can now attack at full power, get rid of the incinerate, like you're getting rid of a bad thing. It's never going to be a bad thing.
Hear me out. It means you're never staggered ever. Isn't that awesome? Just never staggered. That's you know, you want the number one reason why you want to play Winter Guard. If you've ever been stagger stunned by somebody, just play Winter Guard, and that never happens.
Pretty much. The second part is whenever you are securing a objective and would be pushed, you get to roll a dice, and then you have a just under 50% chance of not being pushed. Basically, you need to roll a hit, or not a hit, a crit, wild, or a block.
Yeah, that one, you know, I go back and forth. It's obviously, it feels great when it happens, right? Your opponent gets a little miffed. Because I think the math comes out to like 38% if you round up, that's going to happen, that you're going to succeed on that roll. If I'm remembering correctly, forgive me, I'm not a math person, but it's somewhere in that lens. But it's very strong on some of the, we're going to talk about some of the crisis that you want to play at, where again, you know, you're going to see people trying to push you off of those objectives. Shuri gets really sad because, you know, that's a cool range 5 push that you have, but sometimes it's not going to happen. So it feels,
just sometimes doesn't work.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't, you know, work, and every, you know, Shuri player just gets really sad, and then you feel really good as the Winter Guard player when it happens. So not being able to get pushed, you know, even just once or twice, for me has clutched a couple of games. So it's really amazing when it happens. I'm not sure why they had it be wild crit shield instead of, you know, hit crit wild, mm-hmm. You know, obviously because they wanted
for that pure 50-50.
Yeah. You know, it just kind of feels bad that it's not 50-50. But it is what it is.
Yep. Pretty much. And then circling back to Vision, basically Vision is the offensive version of Crimson Dynamo. Mm-hmm. It has a really nasty spender, where, your opponent doesn't get to count crits as successes, and they don't get to explode them, which is really gross. Has the size 3 throw, beam that saps power. So while Crimson Dynamo is kitted out for like the defensive abilities and all that kind of stuff, Vision is there to just kind of turn on the pressure.
Yeah, 100%. For those of you who like, you know, kind of a little bit more lore friendly or comic friendly, you know, rosters or teams, when you put them on there, you can still run Vision and paint him up as Volstock. Volstock is basically the Winter Guard's version of Vision. And he's a pretty interesting character that appears in the Winter Guard every now and then. And so he's pretty cool.
There you go. So let's go ahead and start talking splash characters. And you've got a couple, I've got one, so I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. Yeah. We'll talk about, the easier one, which is, for me, Shuri. I like putting Shuri on my Winter Guard roster, mainly because, as you just mentioned, some of the Winter Guard characters really struggle for that offensive oomph, you know, getting that aggressive dice and doing some damage. And obviously we have a couple wild triggers. You want Crimson Dynamo's wild trigger to go off as many times as possible. Getting shock on the entire enemy team is really difficult for the other team to get through on top of your other defensive shenanigans that you can do. Mm-hmm. I once played against a Daredevil or Shadowlands Daredevil, you know, rerolling team that normally when they're rerolling four dice into four dice, you can get some consistency. But if you even lower that by one die, you know, making them roll three dice offensively, it really reduces the output of damage that they can do to you. So that's always a really fun way to see them use those wild triggers on Crimson Dynamo. But Shuri also just makes sure that your team survives as much as possible. And lastly, doubles down on that objective pushing. You want people off objectives. So Shuri, as we mentioned earlier, can sit back and at range five, just push people off of objectives. And that's going to be a strength of the Winter Guard, where you know, you can have Shuri, Red Guardian, and Ursa Major all pushing people off of objectives. And that's kind of your core group of people. So I think it's really strong. It's been really effective since I've put her on the roster, and really have enjoyed that extra survivability, extra damage, you know, pushing through and just repositioning the enemy team with Shuri.
Makes sense. I like it. Out of curiosity, have you got to try Zola in that role yet?
I have. I was excited for some other shenanigans that you can do with Zola on there. But what I have found in the three games that I've run Zola, just, you know, swapping out Zola and Shuri, is that he dies much quicker because he's a little bit harder to hide with his big base and increased size. It's hard, you know, with his two physical defense, which is going to be the most common attack variant. People can just bully him on that back point pretty easily, where Shuri, you can kind of hide. And that's how I've run Shuri, especially we're going to talk about E objectives. She loves those E objectives. So you can, you know, tuck her back, have her pop around a corner, push someone, you know, and hopefully not face the repercussions. I've tried Zola. I maybe probably haven't, you know, put as many or put as much effort into Zola as I probably could, but I tried.
Fair enough. I was just curious.
Oh, and plus, we're the good guys, Nate. You know, Zola's a bad guy. Winter Guard, good guys.
Sure.
Maybe, yeah. At least that's what I tell myself.
We'll talk about that when we talk about your second suggestion.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
in the meantime, I picked Hulk.
Yeah.
Hulk is kind of the juggernaut of, not juggernaut, but like just big, menacing individual who likes to destroy stuff. Hulk smash. And like Hulk does that. Winter Guard shores up two of his biggest weaknesses, though, and I love it. First, a Hulk that can never be staggered is a terrifying thing, not to mention a Hulk that like just gets rid of shock, is able to shrug off bleed, amongst many other things, is a fantastic ability. And then secondly, a Hulk that's harder to push around is also very, like, because at first, before the buffs and debuffs and all that kind of stuff happened in the 1.5 update, that was one of Hulk's biggest weaknesses, was getting shoved around by the Shuris of the world. Now, granted, there's a lot less size 4 pushes out there, but for all, like, the Web Warriors, amongst the Sentinels and other things, Hulk having a better chance of not just being pushed around the table is something that he really likes.
Yeah, 100%. and you said it so well, go figure that Hulk never being able to be staggered is very, very good, right? And that is just one of the best ways to deal with a Hulk nowadays. And same thing with a bad kitty, right? Who goes unnamed. We don't say his name, right?
We don't talk about the big bad kitty cat.
Yeah, we don't talk about the big bad kitty. But, you know, Hulk not being able to be, you know, or, you know, having a 30-ish percent chance of not getting pushed is really nice. And on top of that, he meshes really well with Crimson Dynamo, who's going to make him just that much more survivable. Right. You know, forcing your opponent to reroll two dice when they're attacking into Hulk, if you position correctly, is just amazing. And now Hulk is just going to be around forever. If you do it, he's got his rerolls, you're making your opponent reroll. Hopefully you're putting shocks on them. And then again, you know, as we named a little bit earlier, Hulk is going to be throwing people. He's going to be staggering people. So, you know, moving people off of points, you want your big six threat character to be able to do that a whole bunch. And of course, you know, now we're seeing it is the age of Hulk right now too. So being able to put him on a Winter Guard roster is just a good move too.
Yep, just bonus. So tell me about this last character you have picked as a great splash for the team.
Yeah, so this last character is recent. As I've been scheming and plotting, I have fallen in love with Pyro. I'm just going to fanboy over Pyro for a second. Let's range four wild incinerate that can bounce and make more people incinerate. Can we just talk about how bonkers that is?
It's real bonkers.
I just love it. I, you know, I'm also a big Brotherhood player too, so maybe my Brotherhood side is showing. But I just absolutely love being able to incinerate their whole team and give them, you know, shock. I think it's a really strong combination. And then I think you can still squeeze Pyro into some really nice, you know, threat values and still be able to pour out some damage. And potentially, now I haven't practiced as many. I've got like one trial game with Pyro here at home when we printed off his card, and because I was so excited and had to do a trial game with him. He is pretty squishy. Surprise, surprise, right? But Winter Guard can help that out a little bit. So I'm excited about the possibilities. I will still confess that theory is still in testing, but being able to put incinerate, put in shock out as much as possible, I think is going to be really, really strong for the Winter Guard team. Let's just not forget that Pyro can root people, because that's also amazing. So I think that's really
root and slow really for strong. Two power. Yes, please.
Oh yeah, it's just I'm still fanboying over Pyro. I think he's just going to be a great fit for the team. So I think if you get a chance to run Pyro with Winter Guard, I think you'll find that the combination of shock and incinerate is going to really kind of even the odds. And I think that's what, at least for me, in my mindset of trying to approach the Winter Guard, is how are we going to try to bring down some of these other characters that are just, if we're going to be honest, inherently a little bit better than some of the Winter Guard characters. And so, you know, the Winter Guard have to really work on positioning and comboing some pieces together to really kind of even the odds and make some things go your way.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And Pyro kind of tenderizes the enemies, make them easier to hit, while Dynamo is making it so they don't hit quite so hard. It's a very nice little combo wombo there.
Yeah. It is something that I think from some of the conversations I've had with other folks, you know, people think I'm crazy, but that's also for lots of other reasons, like playing Winter Guard 30 some odd times before a Nashcon. That was crazy, but it was something that you'd be able to test something out. And I think sometimes you just gotta forgive the pun, but sometimes you just gotta, you know, burn the midnight oil, right? And
Oh man. All right. So with this kind of general idea of what our roster could look like, we've got a total of 9 characters. We've talked about kind of a roster that like can build itself out from there. You throw in some of the nice tactic cards like Sovereign Strike, which lets you basically blow up a building and deal 2 damage to everybody within range 1. Unfortunately, it is everybody, so that that will do some friendly fire. What is a kind of like overall game plan suggestion for you, or do you have any objectives that you highly recommend Winter Guard players look at?
Oh, you want E's and C's, man. That's you want to pray to the you know, the shuffle gods as you shuffle and go for priority. You want E and C objectives. You know, the living the dream. Can I tell you the dream? The dream is gamma on research. That is dream. You've won. You've won the moral victory as a Winter Guard player. If you get gamma research, you can go home. Don't even have to play the game. It's great.
Yep. But just go to Beamtown. Never look back.
Yeah. Go to Beamtown. Don't ever look back. And just have fun. It's pretty awesome. Playing E objectives and C objectives really is going to play to the strength of the Winter Guard. I have noticed in the games that I've played, every single game that I've played on a D objective, I've lost. Because we struggle with maneuverability. And the Winter Guard core is when you stay together as a team, you're going to do much, much better. I think one of the better objectives or crisis for the Winter Guard is intrusions. You're going to be able to bounce around, get to places where there's problems. Obviously, demons downtown is amazing because now your team is effectively not going to face too much of the repercussions. You still can a little bit get yourself into trouble with Incinerate, but generally you're going to be having a better time being on demons downtown than most other teams. And Gamma is going to be amazing for Winter Guard because you're able to, again, the team's able to push, throw a fair amount of people. So I've really found that has been a really good crisis for me. And like I said, Researcher is the dream. Montessi is another one. You want some slow scoring objectives. Where people aren't going to be moving around a whole bunch. Those are going to be your strengths as a Winter Guard team.
I like it. Yeah, that's kind of the same general idea I had is when you're able to line up Dynamo and Vision together or Dynamo and Hulk, and then you also have Red Guardian providing these guaranteed pushes, maybe Ursa Major in there with the throws, gives you a lot of control options. On these high-scoring, valuable secures, the synergies just kind of write themselves at that point.
Yeah, it really does. I think one card that I feel or that I've seen a lot of Winter Guard players take in some of the Winter Guard chats that I've had that I actually think it's okay to move away from, and maybe this is sacrilegious. But I think moving away from Follow Me is probably a good thing for Winter Guard. I know it was kind of like an auto slap in almost every list for a long time. I know I did, you know, as a Brotherhood player. But that's
why it's restricted.
And yeah, yes, there's and it's a good thing that it's a restricted. I don't necessarily think. Follow Me is a great restricted card. The two restricted cards that I'm really enjoying for Winter Guard are Sacrifice is pretty much been my auto take, and I've been going back and forth between Indomitable and Patch Up as kind of my second one. I've really been leaning a little bit more towards Indomitable. Because again, the Winter Guard are really going to struggle when you start pushing them around and they have to start wasting actions to get back into position. So being able to stay put, it also gets really awkward when Hulk gets thrown back into your team, like, oh, whoops. So having, you know, having a tactic card that prevents that, or at least once, is going to be pretty nice.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't think, and I'm glad you mentioned it, Nate, it was the Sovereign Strike. I don't think enough people give Sovereign Strike credit. I played a game not too long ago where it was Gamma Research, because we were living the dream, and turn one was afraid of the Red Guardian push on the middle objective, so he just kind of stayed back a little bit and hovered around this this nice, sweet little size 4 terrain piece that just coincidentally was in range 1 of 4 of his 6 characters. I'm like, well, this is going to be bad for you on turn 2. And because Red Guardian just is going to generate power like crazy. And sure enough, top of turn 2, 4 of his characters took 2 damage. Just right out of the gate. Bang. And it removes one of the other great strengths of Sovereign Strike that, again, I think more Winter Guard players need to see. The bonuses, especially if you blow up a size 4, that means that people can't throw it at you. Mm-hmm. Please know that as a Brotherhood player, I get sad when big size 4 things go away.
Yeah, you get the power from it, but you still, they don't get the damage from it, and that's right. Part of what they want.
Yeah, I mean, you're removing 5 free damage, right? Or not free, but you know what I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's just a strength of a card, you know, of how good the Sovereign Strike card is. I do wish, I love Winter Rush. Winter Rush is a great card. I think Winter Rush gets infinitely better the second we have more than 4 people in affiliation. I was surprised that at least Black Widow won, the core set Black Widow was not, in the affiliation, because she's part of the Red Room training, stuff, which is in the comics kind of where the Winter Guard come from. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Red Widow is on that card. Volstock's on that card. Chernabog is another one. My hope, and I think, Nate, I think I showed you my converted Perun that I brought with me to NashCon. But that's my another hope, is that we see an actual Perun model come out. Mm-hmm. That would be pretty awesome. But yeah, I think there's some really neat stuff that the Winter Guard can provide, especially with things like Sovereign Strike. You just got to get a little creative. That's all. And if one other card that I just briefly want to talk about that I think is a big strength for Winter Guard, is Trip Up. Mm-hmm. Trip Up doesn't see a lot of love right now because it's kind of hard to pull off sometimes, but being able to, if you know that you're going to at least pull off 1 damage, putting a stagger on your opponent, is going to be really, really strong, especially if you can get a push off of that attack as well. So I pulled off some pretty nice Trip Ups with Red Guardian where you're going to stagger them and then push them. Mm-hmm.
Shuri is another one who's really good at it, because she's got that like this 6 die builder. It's like, well, I can only do a max of 1 damage. But usually if you're going into just like a 3 defense or something, 6 dice will get through that 1 damage, and that's all you need to push them, stagger them, and stun them.
Oh yeah. It's just, you know, chef's kiss. And when it happens, it's living the dream. Cause again, you know, what makes your team even more tankier, and you kind of hopefully seeing the pattern that we're talking about here with Winter Guard, is you want to be this, you know, immovable, invincible turtle right in the middle of the board. And so providing tactics, you know, and combos that can do that, are really important. That means that you got to start diving into some of the tactic cards that aren't necessarily super common. Mm-hmm. Right now, but don't ever leave home without Recalibration Matrix. That's a card that every person should have a copy of.
And they've printed it like 5 times, so you're
safe. Yeah. Yeah, there's no excuse that you shouldn't have it, right? You should have several copies of it.
Yep. Awesome, man. Well, thank you again for joining me, talking through kind of Winter Guard, some tactical decisions, character choices, and kind of ways to build out that roster. And real quick, I know that you were also making your own MCP content. So if you don't mind, tell us where people can find you and what you're doing.
Yeah. So my buddy Shane, who's also Shane CS on the Discord, and who made cuts and made a pretty deep dive into the playoffs last TTS season. He, myself, and another buddy of ours, Ryan, all from upstate New York, have created Crisis Point, a nice podcast that we're relatively new. We've got about 5 episodes in, and we'd love for you to come check us out. We have a really good time, and we stick to that around that hour mark, and just have some fun conversations and trying to bring some more MCP content up into especially the upstate New York area, where we're trying to continue to bring the game and get it moving and shaking. We're having a great time with it. It's one of our favorite segments is Splash Mountain, where we roll a magical wheel or spin a magical wheel, and we get to talk about some random character and what affiliations that character could be splashed in. So it's a pretty fun time.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you. Thank you again for joining me. If you want to go and check them out, I'll have a link down in the description of the podcast. Thank you all for listening. And until next time, keep on gaming.